that we are living in such a me society. It's me. It's all about me. Selfies, thousands of pictures of me. Everything is about me. My feelings, my needs, what I want, what I feel. You didn't treat me right. Everything is about me. And when two me's get married, you got a mess. You got a real mess, because she's talking about herself, he's talking about himself, and the me syndrome goes on and on and on, and people never evolve into becoming who they should be because they never get beyond living for themselves. If you hire somebody like that, they can't get along with anybody. The moment they get their feelings hurt, they lose their mission because their feelings got hurt. They lose their assignment because their feelings got hurt. They lose their calling because their feelings got hurt. They sit around and pout and become obnoxious because their feelings got hurt. You know why? Because we're in a narcissistic society where everything is about them. It's about me. I can't be loyal because it's about me. I can't be dependable because it's about me. I can't sacrifice because it's about me. I got a voice, but I won't sing because I don't feel like coming out on Thursday night because it's about me. I've got a message, but I won't give it because I don't like being in front of people. It's about me. Everything is about me. I would go after this other job. I'm going to stay on this job because it's about me. I got kids, but I don't want to be bothered with them because they get on my nerves. It's about me. Come on, talk to me, somebody. I have never seen anything like this. People who have kids and don't want to be bothered with them. Now, there might be some times that they got on your nerves, but you still got to hang in there, because you got to know that in order to be a mother, it's a sacrifice. Quit looking at some cute guy and saying, I want to be I want you to be my daddy. What is it, baby daddy. I want you to be my baby daddy. No. When he gets through being cute, you still got that kid. You got to want the kid, not the daddy. You got to want the kid, because that's a lifelong experience. If you're a man, quit looking at a woman. She's gorgeous. I want you to have my baby. After she had the baby, I want you to take care of that baby. I want you to get a job. I want you to make some payments. I want you to bring some bread and some food up in this mug. We got to get rid of this me syndrome. It's killing us. It is destroying us. It is destroying our ministry. People who are preaching now are not preaching for the crowd or for the people or for the benefit of the people. They're preaching for themselves. What's in it for me? You cannot serve God and be a Christian, not a real Christian, and be stuck on stupid and tied into yourself and refuse to evolve to the degree that you understand this is about sacrifice. This is about service. This is about giving yourself away. This is about pouring out your energy and going where you've never gone before and living for a purpose, for living bigger than me. I want to live big. I want to live big. I want to live big. Type that in the timeline. I want to live big. I'm through living small. I'm not going to let the devil talk me into living small. I'm going to live big. I'm going to live big because I'm living around so many people that are dying. And the more people die, the more it makes me want to live big. I don't want to waste a week. I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste an hour. I don't want to waste a second. I want to live big. That's why I'm not going to let you get on my nerves, because I want to live big. That's why I'm not going to let you frustrate me, because I want to live big. That's why I don't care what you think about me, because I want to live big. I want to live big. I want to live so big that I live for something that is bigger than myself. In our text today, we have Nehemiah. He is neither a prophet, nor priest, nor king. He's just somebody working a job. The book of Nehemiah begins in such a way that it introduces this character to us who leaps at us almost without warning from a position of working a 9-to-5. He's got a grind, he's got a job, he's doing his own thing, it's cool. He's set up, he's working in a nice place, he's got everything together. Let me explain to you how Nehemiah comes to have his job. He undoubtedly was born during the time that Israel was in captivity up under the Babylonian captivity. The Babylonians had taken Jerusalem and destroyed it. And you've heard me preach before about how they left in chains. And if I forget Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. You've heard me preach before about the sacrifices they went through. Well, then they did go through those sacrifices. Babylon ripped them away from their home. But guess what? You reap what you sow. The same Babylon that tore things up for them got overcome by the Persian army, and now the Babylonians are out of power, and the children of Israel have been released to go back home, and some of them have stayed. Nehemiah is one of the ones that has stayed. He is now working for King Artaxerxes. King Artaxerxes is a Persian king. He's a new ruler, he's a new emperor, and Nehemiah is his cupbearer, and he's now in a position of authority, and he's now in a position of power, and he has Nehemiah as a cupbearer. Now, that doesn't make Nehemiah a waiter. It doesn't make him a busboy. It doesn't make him just somebody who's going to and fro. That means that every time the king drinks wine, Nehemiah tastes the wine before the king to make sure it was safe. So Nehemiah is used to danger. I'm not trying to tell you that he's a wino. I'm not trying to tell you he's a drunk. I'm assuming that you understand that one of the proclivities of the Persian governments was to kill or to do a coup on a king by poisoning him, and to circumvent the possibility that the king might be poisoned. It was Nehemiah's job that if there was anything bad in the cup, he took it first. I want you to understand the mentality of the guy that came from, because your destiny is always hidden in your history. Y'all didn't hear what I was saying. Your destiny, if you go back in your life, you will see certain things that prepared you for where you are right now. If you go back in your life, you'll see things that don't even seem related to what you're doing right now, but have served you well now that you're in the place that you're in right now, because now Nehemiah is in a situation where he faces death every day. Every morning he goes to work, he knows it could be his last morning. He has already begun to have the roots of living beyond himself. I wouldn't want Nehemiah's job. I might give it to the cat. And if the cat don't make it, then I say, King, don't drink this wine, it's not good. I would not want to be Nehemiah's job, because if Nehemiah went to work one morning and somebody was poisoning the king, the evidence of saving the king would cost him his life. This is a seed of unselfishness that is planted in him from the earliest of his existence. Parents, hear me well. If you don't plant quality, don't plan to reap quality in adults. If you don't plant the seeds of unselfishness, if you don't plant the seeds of courage, if you don't plant the seeds in them where they learn not to be selfish, and they learn to share, and they learn that everything is not about them, and it's not about what you want, and it's not about you liking Chuck E. Cheese. We're going this place today. We'll go that place another. I know that sounds like little bitty things, but it's the root work of creating a certain type of person that they don't think that the whole world evolves around their wishes. The reason we have so many divorces today is because you think the whole world evolves around your wishes. And if you don't find somebody who evolves around your wishes, you're ready to get out, because you're not willing to live beyond yourself. Come on and talk to me, somebody. Type in the comments, I want to live bigger than me. I didn't come here to live and die just to pay the mortgage on a house I'm going to leave. I didn't come here just to pay the rent for somebody who's a homeowner, and I made my payments and my credit is good, that's great, and I lived here and then I died. That was it? That's all you're going to do? Is live for some clothes in your closet? And some red on the bottom of your shoes? You could get some paint and paint red on the bottom of your shoes. You're living all of your life for stuff you're gonna leave. What are you doing that is beyond you? Take a minute and think about it. I don't wanna bring your joy down. I don't want to make you feel bad, but what would people lose if they lost you? How are you affecting the life of somebody other than you and yours? When God gives you gifts, do you think he gave you the gift for you? If God gave you a voice to sing, do you think he gave you the voice for you to sing in the shower? Whatever God gave you, he gave it to you to affect somebody beyond yourself. You have to realize this.